G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM. Good afternoon once again, Australia, and yeah, welcome to Conversations. My name's Brad, I'm here with Robbie today, and we're stoked to be spending another Monday afternoon with you. And of course, it's a Monday afternoon if you are listening live, but if you're not, that's okay. You can always still be part of this conversation. We love reading every single text and message that everybody sends into this show. And welcome, of course, to our viewers on Facebook and on YouTube. We're stoked to have you with us as well. How you going, Robbie?
Yeah, good. Our introductions are getting longer and longer with all the people that we're welcoming and introducing. And we got to remember New Zealand's listening, parts of New Zealand listening now, Norfolk Island,
good old
Lord Howe Island. We're all over the place.
Have you been to either of those ones, Robbie? Have you been to Lord Howe or to Norfolk?
I've been to Norfolk Island. I was there, it was probably only about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And nice. It was the day that we turned the signal on there. Mm. It was a little bit of a low-profile promotion, but we've been on air for about 3 months there. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in Norfolk Island in March next year for 4 weeks, and I'm doing the Faith Experiment live in person in Norfolk on Norfolk Island.
That's pretty cool.
So if you're listening on Norfolk Island and you want to get more information, then keep your eyes on faithfm.com.au/events. And we are going to get more information out as it gets closer. But yeah, looking forward to it. I'm going to be there for 4 weeks, mate. That's a long time on a little island.
That's plenty enough time to take up surfing, Robbie. I think that's all golf. They've got a pretty good golf course there on Norfolk Island. So I
have
expect
really?
To see you. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We went there as a family years ago, and I never forget, we were there when State of Origin was on, and this was, you know, back in, I don't know, maybe the early 2000s. And so, you know, you still had those old cathode ray tube TVs, and this was a tiny TV in our little hotel, you know, the size of like an A4 piece of paper. And I just remember as a kid trying to watch State of Origin, and you're like, oh, and the red pixel is moving over there, and the blue pixel, and the one white pixel is the ball moving around on this tiny little screen, so you couldn't really see anything. But
so it was a really memorable State of Origin then.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, like Norfolk Island's really beautiful. I really enjoyed the time that we spent there, and heaps of people to meet. And I remember it was something like the guy who was the town mayor was also the guy who did the tour bus. It was also the guy who was the lead actor in like the town play thing. And it was also the guy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So
everyone's connected. But I found out that there's a lot of history there I never knew about Norfolk Island, that they, I don't know how much I should say on the radio, but there's a bit of tension between Norfolk Island people and what they call the Australians, even though they're a part of Australia. So it's an interesting place. But hey, let's talk about that later for Norfolk Island, because that's coming up in March. What's coming up this weekend, Brad? I'm super excited about this.
This is something that we have never done before. So this is a first timer for all of Faith FM. We are actually running a conference and a special day called Amplify, which is going to be happening in Adelaide. So Robbie, even though you and I at the moment, we're doing this show thousands of kilometers away from each other, we'll actually be able to catch up together very soon.
Yeah, 100%. And there'll be about 43 other people from Faith FM there in Adelaide on Saturday. We'll have people like the Breakfast Show hosts.
We'll
have Shell from Afternoons. We'll have Danny from Looking Up. We'll have Lloyd and Hunty from Aussie Pastor. We'll have Jason and David Leo from Tassie Encounters. All the crew from South Australian Drive Time will be there. And a whole bunch of other people. Nick Creda from he's also on Drive Time, but he's also got his few other shows. It's going to be as big as star-studded events go for Faith FM. This will be it. This will be the first one, maybe the last one. So if you're in Adelaide, you got to come and check us out. It's going to be a free event on this coming Saturday, the 26th of October. We start at 10 a.m. and we'll run through to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a BYO picnic lunch. The details for this is on the website, faithfm.com.au/events. I think you'll find the details there. If not, we'll put it up in the break and you can find it. Check. Yeah.
I think it might be the address there.
But I'll check. We'll have to put it on there. Yes, Amplify, isn't it? Yeah. faithfm.com.au/amplify. So if you're in Adelaide this weekend and you want to come meet the Faith FM crew, visit faithfm.com.au/amplify and you'll find the details, the location. If you're on Facebook or YouTube right now, Brad just posted the link so you can click it directly. Now, here's a little bonus.
All right.
If you would like your chance to have lunch with the presenters, we have a limited amount of seating for the lunch. And so we've got about 30 seats available for people who are in Adelaide this Saturday who want to come and have lunch with the Faith FM national team. I think we've got about 10 or so seats left. So if you would like a chance to get in one of those seats, you can text us in on, I thought I had it here somewhere. Yep. I was reading it before. There it is. There so it's 04-888-185-00. That's 04-888-185-00 and text the word lunch. So just text the SMS word lunch to 04-888-185-00. If you're online, you can see that on the screen right now. And you will go into the draw where it can only take, I think it's about 12 left, so you got to get in fast to get your spot. And we will contact you if you've got a chance to come and have lunch with the national crew. About 1 o'clock it will be for lunch.
Hmm.
And we're looking forward to it. We're going to have three segments on Saturday. Will be a section looking at Faith FM and the various shows, sort of a showcase of what's happening around the country. Then there will be a breakfast show, a live Saturday morning breakfast show for about half an hour. It'll lead us through a really interesting study. And then in about 11 o'clock, 11:30, we're going to have the Aussie Pastor Live special edition with about five other people on the panel looking at the impact that Jesus is having here in Australia. So it's going to be a big day, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just thinking the one thing we probably should mention that maybe someone in Adelaide or around the country is listening in, it's their first time, and they're hearing you spruiking this lunch, Robbie, and they're thinking, all right, how much do I have to shell out for this? Is it going to be $100, you know, $200? How much does it actually cost?
It's actually $999 per seat. That's the way we were going to get the money to keep Faith FM running. No, just kidding. This is absolutely free. Nice. So it's like I said, there's only 30 in total. We've already given away about 25 seats. We got around 12 is left. I think that math doesn't add up. I know, but it's about 12 left, I think. So if you want to get a chance to win a free lunch, take out your phone, 04-888-185-00 and text the word lunch and you will go into the draw. We'll let you know probably by Wednesday if you've got a chance to come in for the free lunch, Brad. Thank you.
Yep. And obviously, you know, free this lunch is open to everybody. Potentially everybody in the world, right? I mean,
or everyone in Adelaide.
Well, it would probably make most sense for if you're living in Adelaide. But, you know, if you're over in Norfolk Island and you're thinking to yourself, I could go for a free lunch with the Faith FM crew.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to pay for your airfare to Adelaide? We'll give you a free lunch. 100%.
Why not? Oh, boy.
Nice. So, Brad, what have you been up to a week? We haven't done a show together.
What have I been up to? I tell you what, I've been picking a lot of lemons.
Lemons.
Yes, we've got some lemon trees, and I've been trying to figure out what to do with them because there's so many. I've done all of the standard lemon things that people do, right?
Okay.
So I've done cut them up and
lemonade,
dry them out. I've made lemonade. I've eaten
lemon lime bitters.
I've juiced them. I've done lemon lime and bitters, and I'm at my wit's end for what else to do with more lemons.
Lemon marmalade.
I haven't done marmalade yet, but I don't really like marmalade. So,
lemon. Yeah, isn't there like a lemon tarte sauce or something?
You can make lemon butter. That's pretty nice.
Oh, yes, I've had lemon butter.
Yeah. That's going to be next on the list then, Robbie. Okay. But one thing I actually did do yesterday is I went to a gem show over in Nunawading, for anybody who knows where that is in Melbourne, so in the east side. So it was basically in the Nunawading City Council buildings, they've got a big lapidary club, which is basically just involves things to do with rocks and jewelry and all sorts of things like that. And so they were doing a showcase, a bit of an exhibition, and they had people coming from all over the country showing these different types of stones that they get from all over the country and all over the world. And, you know, some of them are cut and some of them are raw. And, you know, I really love geology. I love rocks and minerals of all sorts. But I always find it really interesting when you go to these shows to actually see sometimes the minerals in their raw form. Because a lot of the time, right, you know, you see a stone in a piece of jewelry and go, oh, yeah, that's pretty nice. That's beautiful. And then you see the original and you think to yourself, it's nothing special. You know, how would they know that this can be so amazing and turned into something great? So, you know, you can have lots of interesting conversations there.
So what was that fancy word you used, the place at the council? What's it called?
It's called a lapidary show.
A lapidary show. There's the word for the day, people, lapidary. And what does lapidary mean, Brad?
I don't know.
Well, if you know what it means, text us in 0488 185 00 and you'll educate us today on today's conversation.
I think it means...
Well, on the weekend...
I think it just means to do with, like, doing fancy things with stone, basically.
So whether you're cutting it, rocks were involved in the title.
Yeah, so whether
you... I was guessing that.
I think technically you could say that somebody who cuts stone into, like, tiles for the floor is technically doing a lapidary activity, but...
Someone gave a thumbs up, so you must be on the right track.
Okay, well, there you go. Why not?
Someone on Facebook gave you a thumbs up right at that exact second, so I'm guessing you know what you're talking about. Well, today we got a really interesting conversation in case you're watching going, where is this thing going? Well, we're just catching up on what we've been doing because I haven't talked to it, Brad, for the whole morning. But this conversation is a good one. It's about... what do we call it? The life-changing power of the good news of Jesus. So we're going to get into that on today's episode. But before we do, Brad, you asked me what I did this weekend. Mm-hmm. I did something I have never done before.
Okay.
Yeah. I went solo camping with my son.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
First time ever. We've been talking about doing this for about 8 years. And probably 7 years, more like it. And... Well, this weekend was the first time it actually happened. Nice. Probably because I travel too much, but
sure.
Yeah, so we packed up everything, packed up the trailer and the four-wheel drive, and we drove. It's about an hour and a half away from Brisbane on the north side, mm-hmm. and up into the National Forest, whatever they call it up there, and found a nice little place. The reason I picked this place was for one reason: allowed fires. We had to have a fire. If there was no fire, it was not worth going.
Yep.
So we found this place right next to a little river, and went up there Friday, stayed there Friday night, Saturday night, came back Sunday, and it was great. It was great. There were no leeches, lots of march flies though.
Yep.
And the little stream was freezing cold. Well, the river was freezing cold, but we went swimming anyway because, you know, you have to do that sort of stuff on these sorts of trips.
How cold would you say it was?
It's probably about 8 or 9 degrees
in the morning. That's legit.
It was decently cold. Like the water I'm talking about, like the temperature wasn't that bad, but the water was decently cold because it was running sort of stream. Yeah.
I guess
that's what I got up to.
Okay. I guess you see, you know, when I hear a Queenslander say, oh, yeah, the water was cold, and I'm living down here in Melbourne, I think to myself, it's probably 25 degrees or something.
Yeah, no. Well, that is still cold on the Gold Coast. Like if you're on the Gold Coast, 25 degrees is cold.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds really great. I love going out and doing camping. I remember all the trips we used to do when we were kids in our Pathfinder Club, which is like scouts basically. And me and my brothers would pack our big backpacks full of just Weet-Bix basically. And that would be our food for the weekend. And off you go.
Hey, I did pretty well. We had pancakes for breakfast on Sunday morning. It actually went pretty well. And then I had roast corn, like corn in, you did corn on the cob, but in like an aluminum foil sort of thing thrown into the fire. Spuds, what else to do? Did sandwiches. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was sort of like, you know, we weren't really rough on it. Well, we did have 2 minute noodles, one meal.
I was going to say, next time you go solo camping, I guess I can't come with you, but maybe I can hide somewhere and flog your food when you're done.
Hey, we had bush turkey still in our food, mate.
Oh, they'd come up to our thing
and they'll pinching potatoes and pinching whatever they get their hands on. It's quite amusing.
They always do.
Yeah. Well, let's get into today's conversation, Brad. This is a big topic, and it's a topic that is very dear to my heart because it's something that I've experienced myself, as I'm sure you have. And I think there's a lot of people who listen to Faith FM right across the country. Last year, we had a lot of engagement online, on text messages. And so we know that some of these topics we're covering on Conversations resonate with everyday Aussies, and that's who we're trying to reach. And even if you're not an everyday Aussie, you're listening from South Africa or Pakistan or India. We have a lot of people listening from those parts of the world.
Now, look, we've had some comments already, Robbie, asking English or Spanish. I mean, unfortunately, no Espanol for me, but...
hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Bien? Muy bien.
That's pretty good.
La Biblia dice, Apocalipsis capítulo 1, versículo 1. If you know what I just said, you can text it in the comments. I'm not Spanish, by the way, but I spent a lot of time working in Spanish countries, so I picked up a little bit here and there.
That's pretty cool.
So we're talking about the life-changing power of the good news of Jesus. We call it the gospel. Gospel is just a fancy word for the word, which means good news. And the reason why I thought we'd pick up this conversation today, Brad, is because I've read a couple of articles today, and let me share you real quick with you. This was put out by, of all places, the University of Adelaide. We just happened to be going there this week. But they put out a study that says it's a new report into the mental well-being of Australia's youth, written by University of Adelaide, has shown that young people across the country are really struggling with their resilience and mental health. A couple of years ago, probably 2 years ago, you did a whole episode just on resilience.
Yeah.
So if you have missed that episode and you want to catch up on how to have really good resilience and practical tips, go to the Faith FM app or the website, look for Conversations, and I think you can just type in resilience and you'll find the episode that Brad did for us.
Yeah.
But in this article, in this study they released, it goes on to say that one of the major challenges of people is this: 35% of secondary school students report high levels of anxiety and depression. Now, think about that. That's a lot of kids across this country are struggling with where their mental health is. And then there was another study that I read today. And this one was put out by the Pennington Institute here in Australia. And it was their October 2024 report, which was looking at it's the most comprehensive study looking at the overdoses of people from drug use here in Australia. And what they released today was astounding. They've reported that there have been 42,000 deaths, overdose-related deaths, since the year 2000, right? So that's like 22 years. That's a lot of people dying from drug overdose. But then it goes on to say that drug induced deaths are continuing to rise, and it's now surpassing the national road toll. So it used to be that you had more chances of dying in a car crash than overdosing with drugs. Now that's inverted. You now have more chance of dying from a drug overdose than from a car crash, which is absolutely astonishing. And so when I was reading all this stuff this morning, what I got this impression of, you know what, in Australia, we need some life-changing power. And I happen to believe, I'm sure you believe with me, that power we touched on this last week a little bit, that the power in Christianity is the power that comes from outside of us, but it comes into our lives and changes and transforms us. And so I want to unpack that in today's conversation, and hopefully it will resonate with some of our listeners and it will impact not just as a good afternoon informational type presentation. You can tune in to talk back radio sort of thing, but I want to leave our listeners with something that changes their lives today. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what your challenge is, whether it is drugs, whether it is depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's just anger, whether it's fear, whatever it is, I want to unpack the basic principles of Christianity and how that this good news of Jesus can transform your life. So, Brad, that's where I want to head this afternoon.
It sounds good. And, you know, I come from a family filled with teachers, Robbie. So, you know, I do often hear stories about these same sort of things where, you know, kids here in Australia, but, you know, I imagine it applies to around the entire world as well, really are dealing with problems of depression and anxiety and fear. And, you know, it's tough. And I guess for me, I look back to when I was at school and go, well, you know, it's never been easy being a teenager. But
sure.
I don't feel like it was as hard as it is now. So I can definitely,
The numbers definitely seem to be a lot higher than I remember growing up with. And I'm not saying like our time was better and we were stronger and all that stuff.
Sure,
I
mean,
different circumstances, different eras challenge people differently.
Mm.
And, you know, my parents grew up in the mid to the ends of the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And their stresses were different to my stresses growing up in the 80s. Their stresses were about being drafted, at least for my dad and you know, his friends. Me growing up, I mean, it was a good time. Our biggest stress was whether we had the latest Reebok shoes or something, you know. But those times have changed for the younger people now too as well. So we're going to unpack some of those things. But do you know what time it is now, Brad? Oh,
hang on, Robbie. I do know what time it is. Give me 1 second. Wait. Here we go.
I'm waiting.
Oh, no, I've lost it. Oh, no, here it is. All right, here we go. Ready?
Oh, it's even got a snare on the end. Very good.
We've got statistics.
Oh, what's this?
This is your special ChatGPT What Happened Today music.
Oh, it sounded so good, then it turned into a bit of a joke.
Well, maybe we need something like epic and, you know, some big tom drums or something and that sort of thing.
Crescendo, yeah.
We'll trial a few different things over the next couple of weeks and see what works, you know.
Well, in case you're listening going, what in the world was that? Oh, what am I listening to? I thought this was Faith FM, you know, positive different radio right across Australia. Well, that is exactly what you're listening to, because that was the introduction to Australia's favourite segment.
Oh, yes. With
Robbie. It's this day in history.
Mm.
I'm changed the title, though. It's this day in history trivia.
Hey. So now it is my favorite section.
If you have been listening the last couple of weeks, we've mixed this up a little bit. We asked ChatGPT what happened on this day in history, and we ask it to tell us in a game format. So if you are listening to this and you really want to get involved, we'd love to have you involved. Jump on Facebook or YouTube or take out your phone right now. Text the number 0488-45311 and get ready to answer your options for bragging rights in your home, whether you get this right or wrong, because that's all we got for you this afternoon.
Yep. And, you know, everybody who's watching on Facebook and YouTube, feel free to join in. I see Gaz is here with us again. He was here last week and he was shredding all those answers. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So we are ready to get started. This day in history, according to ChatGPT, take out your phones, get your keyboards ready. You're going to have multiple choice A, B, C for each of these questions. And at the moment, only I know what the answer is. So let's get started. Here we go. On this day in 1973, which landmark event happened in Australia? Which landmark event happened in Australia? Three options, only one is correct. Are you ready?
Hit me. Let's do this.
A, the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. So 1973 we're talking about here. B, the opening of the Sydney Opera House, 1973. And C, the first broadcast of Australian television. Dun, 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 dun,
okay.
Dun,
dun, dun, so dun, I do
all
know.
All right, text in your answers, post your answers. Let's see if Brad can get it right or wrong.
I reckon I've probably got it, Robbie. I don't know if I need to call a friend for this one, but I would say
Gaznet's got his answer in. Let's see how he goes.
Well, I would say that it wouldn't be A, because the Harbour Bridge was built during the Great Depression, right? So that's 1920s, 1930s. It wouldn't be TV, because I know that when my dad was growing up, he was over in New Zealand, but he had friends and family back over here who had seen the moon landings happen on TV. So so TV must have been around before 73. So I think Well, I think by cutting it down, it has to be the Sydney Opera House.
The correct answer is B, the Sydney Opera House.
Hey.
Very good. One for one.
Thank you.
All right. Question two. In 1968 on this day, which famous Australian won gold at the Mexico City Olympics? Okay. 1968 Olympics 68. In Mexico City. Here's your options. A, Kathy Freeman. B, Ian Thorpe. And C, Ralph Dobell.
Okay, well, that's probably not too hard considering I was around during the 2000 Olympics when Kathy Freeman and Ian Thorpe both won gold. So what was the last person? Dobell, was it?
Dobell, D-O-U-B-E-L-L, Dobell. Okay. Ralph Dobell. The answer is Ralph Dobell.
I know one of our sport houses at the school that I went to when I was growing up, like the blue house was Dobell, and that was the one that I was in, but I never actually knew anything about who Mr. Dobell was. Well, apparently
because he's an athlete.
Yeah, well, maybe.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Number three. On this day in 1942, mm-hmm. which significant event took place in the Pacific during World War II involving Australia? So 1942 in the Pacific, World War II, it involves Australia. A, the bombing of Darwin. B, the Battle of the Coral Sea. Or C, the signing of the ANZUS Treaty.
Oh, that's actually a pretty tricky one.
Yeah, I thought so. Thanks, ChatGPT. Very good. Yeah.
Did you put in a prompt to say, give me a hard one?
No. This is just this day in history.
Okay. I think the bombing of Darwin took place a little bit earlier than 42. Okay. I think the ANZUS Treaty came after the Second World War. I could be wrong on that. So, I, again, just kind of whittling it down, I feel like it's probably B, the Battle of the Coral Sea, but I'm not sure on this one.
I love Brad's logic and his process of deduction. For the correct answer was, or is, B, the Battle of the Coral Sea.
There you go.
Gaznet got it right. Good job, Gaznet. You guys are rocking it. All right, and we'll do the last one here. This is there's two more, real quick. Number four, which Australian Prime Minister was sworn in on this day in 1929? A, Robert Menzies. B, James Scullion. I think that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. D, John Curtin. Prime Minister was sworn on this day in 1929? Robert Menzies, James Scullion, S-C-U-L-L-I-N, Scullion, yep. And D, John Curtin.
I feel like Menzies was a bit later because he had two.
Got his answer.
He had two terms. Was it Curtin? I think Curtin. I'd probably go with Scullion as well because I don't think Curtin was that early. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure on this one. B
is B.
Hey,
James Scullion. Gaznet got it right, and then I think he changed it to A. I don't know what the AAA means, but I think he tried to change it.
Just in case.
All right, and last question for this wonderful segment right here on Conversation.
For this one, Robbie, let's leave it open so that people listening on Faith FM can text in their answers, and then we'll reveal the answer for this one later, I reckon.
Okay. All right, here we go. In 1987, on this day in history, what major Australian sporting event took place on this day? A, Australia wins the America's Cup, 1987. Ooh. B, the first AFL Grand Final broadcast in colour. And C, Australia wins the Rugby World Cup. There's your three options. 1987, major Australian sporting event took place on this day. A, Australia wins the America's Cup. B, first grand final broadcast in colour. Or C, Australia wins the Rugby World Cup. And with that, we are going to a break.
All right. Sounds good. And I'll have to sit here racking my brains on that one and go, is it Rugby League or Rugby Union? Or
Gaznet's guessing A. So we'll see who else is texting in or messaging in the correct answer.
All right. Well, let's go to a song. We're going to hear Dan Kosh with I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Remember, you can join the conversation at any time by texting in on 0488 185 00. And, yeah, I'm keen to know if anybody else can figure out the answer on that one. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes' time. Enjoy the song.
My Redeemer lives. And ever prays for me, a token of his love he gives, a pledge of liberty. Jesus, I hang on every word steadfastly believe. You will return and claim me, Lord, and to yourself receive. And we will lift you up, hallelujah. Holy is our God. We will worship you and honor your name. Worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah. You reign in majesty. Glory to our God forever the same. Joyful in hope, my spirit soars to meet you from above. Your goodness thankfully adores, and sure I taste your love. And we will lift you up, hallelujah. Holy is our God. We will worship you and honor your name. Worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah. You reign in majesty. Glory to our God forever the same. Your love I soon expect to find in all its depth and height. To comprehend the eternal mind and grasp the infinite. And we will lift you up, hallelujah. Holy is our God. We will worship you and honor your name. Worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah. You reign in majesty. Glory to our God forever the same.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00.
Welcome back. That song you just heard was Dan Kosh with I Know That My Redeemer Lives from the album Simple Hymns. And yeah, here on Conversations, Robbie left us on a real cliffhanger just before the break there with a question that's even stumped me a little bit, because I don't know. I'm not so down on sport history, but I don't think maybe you can run through the options for us again, mate.
Okay, the question was 1987. Mm-hmm. What major sporting event took place on this day? So October 21. The three options we're getting from ChatGPT is A, Australia wins America's Cup, B, first grey AFL grand final broadcast in colour, or C, Australia wins the Rugby World Cup.
Mm.
There's your three options.
I think the America's Cup win was 83. What year did you say? 87?
This was 1987, yes.
I think the America's Cup win was 83.
While you're pondering that, let's get into today's conversation.
Sounds good.
We are talking today about life-changing power. Mm. Now, when you put those three words together, what comes to your mind in your mind, Brad? Life-changing power.
Life-changing power. Like, for me, at least the initial thing that jumps to mind for me is kind of like a Peter Parker Spider-Man moment. You know, where he gets bitten by the radioactive spider and then he gets these superpowers, you know, super strength and the ability to sense danger and all those sorts of things. So it's kind of a moment where something happens and, you know, your life changes. And, you know, equally for Spider-Man, right? It was his purpose as a person changed. Instead of being, oh, okay, I'm just a kid going to school, it's, oh, I have this amazing power. What am I going to do with it? What's my purpose?
Do you know, I have never seen Spider-Man or read Spider-Man. Okay. I mean, I've seen enough pictures here and there along the line to kind of get the gist of the story, but mm-hmm. I have never watched a Spider-Man movie or read a Spider-Man comic book ever.
Fair enough. I like Spider-Man because he was always witty. And so he'd be, you know, fighting the bad guys, but telling all these silly jokes at the same time and just generally annoying them while he beat them. So, yeah.
Ah, very classy, classy. Yep. So, yeah, but without knowing the story of Spider-Man myself, I get kind of what you're saying there as the point is it seems to be, when you say life-changing power, it's something that changes the trajectory of where life is taking you, where it's been taking you. And so when we look at this from a Christian perspective, like we started the show citing a couple of studies where people are struggling with addictions in this country, people are struggling with mental health, crisis, anxiety, depression, all sorts of things. And, you know, that's only the areas that they're published today. I mean, if I was digging deeper, as any of us would be, we could easily find that there is problems with relationships, problems with diets, problems with, you name it, there's a problem. It could be financial problem. It could be any kind of problem. But what we want to look at is that's all great and well that, you know, we've got a radio station here called Faith FM. We're broadcasting around in the country. Where little tagline is positively different, and our official mission statement is to connect Australians with the life-changing power of the gospel. Mm. But the question is it real? You know, that's one of the questions I get asked a fair bit. It's like, do you really believe this stuff, Robbie, or is it just sort of like positive thinking, you know, like placebo effect?
Yep.
If you think it's going to be better, if you think that it's going to change your life, then your life will change. Or is there actually something real to this thing that we call Christianity, the teachings of Jesus and the following of his ways? And so this idea of life-changing power, what I want to do in this first section is I want to go through, and we haven't done any rehearsal on this, we haven't shared notes, we haven't done anything. This is completely off the cuff.
Yep.
We want to go through a couple of examples in Scripture that illustrate life-changing power. So off the cuff, Brad, what comes to mind of all the biblical stories that you're familiar with? Where's one, or if you're watching this online or you're listening to us, text us in, what's a story that you're familiar with in the Scriptures that illustrates a moment of life-changing power where it changes the trajectory of someone in the story? So we'll start with you, Brad, because we'll wait for people to text in, but let's see what you got.
Yeah, so
what story comes to mind for you?
For people wanting to text in, our number is 0488 185 00. So 0488 185 00. For me, Robbie, there's quite a few in the Bible. One that I always remember pretty well is actually the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the first character I had on my list to talk about. Good job, man.
Well, I can tell you who the other ones are if you want, but it's good. It's great minds thinking alike, Robbie,
There you go. Yeah. Unpack it. Why Zacchaeus?
Because Zacchaeus was somebody who had his life's direction completely turned around from just one event, right? So here's a guy who is a tax collector, collecting taxes from his own people for the Romans, and his own, the Jewish people hated the Romans, so therefore they hated Zacchaeus. And, he wasn't perhaps the most honest guy in how he went about it either. He'd be skimming a bit off the top so he was living pretty large, having a nice house and, plenty of camels or whatever it might be. Whatever is the indicator of wealth, back in the day. But obviously there's something missing in his life. And when he hears that this Jesus guy is coming to town, he's pretty adamant he wants to go and see Jesus and see what this guy is all about. And the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was really short and, he can't see through the crowd to be able to see Jesus. So what does he do? He's willing to put aside, his pride and his dignity, and he climbs up a tree so that he can actually look out and see Jesus in this crowd. He's not that worried about, at this point, what other people think of him, because seeing Jesus and, this guy who seems to be changing so many people's lives is more important to him. And, as he's sitting there up in this tree looking down, Jesus turns up to him in the tree and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, by the way, mate, I'm coming to your place for dinner. So hop down and let's go." You know, an odd kind of thing. And just the fact that Jesus, you know, he knows Zacchaeus is there. He recognizes him. He doesn't ignore him or hate on him like all the other people would have. He says, you know, I recognize that you're there. And, you know, I understand that, you know, there's things that you're doing that might not be the best thing to do. You know, Jesus already knew that Zacchaeus would have been cheating people and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But Jesus gives Zacchaeus dignity and value and says, you know, regardless of what you've done, whether it's right or wrong, I still care about you. Right. And this is just in Jesus' actions, because they go to Zacchaeus' place for dinner, and without Jesus even prompting him, Zacchaeus gets up and he says, "All right, right now I'm going to give away, what is it, half of everything I own to the poor?"
Yes.
And then he says, "All right, and if I've cheated anybody by charging them too much on their taxes, I'll pay you back and double."
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a fascinating story.
Yeah. Like, it's honestly a crazy story in all regards. And, you know, and again, where does Jesus say in this story, like, you know, does he even say, "All right, Zacchaeus, you know, we've got to make amends here. We've got to really change up what you're doing. You know, this is a lifestyle intervention. So we're going to get the team in and they're going to give you a different haircut and a different clothes," you know, like you see in all those reality TV shows. Jesus doesn't do that. But something that happens that completely changes Zacchaeus' purpose. It completely changes his relationship with the town around him, and it completely changes his priorities in life. So if that's not some sort of life-changing power or life-changing event, I don't know what is.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the thing in the story is, this is in the Gospel of Luke, if you're wanting to read this at home. It's in Luke chapter 19. And you did a wonderful job at recounting the story, Brad. It's the thing that gets me is that it's in. So Jesus is just going. It starts off with Jesus just going to pass through Jericho, and then verse 2 tells us, "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector." So he wasn't just the tax collector. He would have had like a couple working under him, which means he was getting money from them too, probably. And it says in verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, but could not, because of the crowd, for he was of short stature." And so he ran up the tree, as you said. And then, as you said, Jesus sees him and says, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste. He came down, received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all started complaining, "He's going to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." So everyone looked at this guy as being a scoundrel. He's a no-for-good scoundrel. He's a tax collector. He's a cheat. He's a liar. And yet, Jesus says, "I'm going there to eat with them." And then as I love what you say here. As soon as they complain and say, "Hey, but this guy, he's a sinner," Zacchaeus replies in verse 8 and says, "Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord," so he's speaking to Jesus now, he says, "Look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything by false occasion, I'll restore it fourfold," as you mentioned, right? So he's not even taking any response from Jesus. Like, Jesus hasn't said, "Hey, go do this, go do that." Mm. It's like being in his presence, something was changing in his life. Some kind of, it's supernatural. I mean, these sorts of things don't just happen. Something supernatural is happening here. And I love how the story ends. It says, "And Jesus said to him," this is to Zacchaeus, he says, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And so what I love about Zacchaeus' story, and I'm glad you picked it out first, is that it shows the moment that the life was going one way with Zacchaeus. He encounters this power of Jesus, and then his life's going a different direction. And I love how Jesus wraps it up. He says, "I've come to seek and save that which was lost." And so Zacchaeus was lost. The path he was on, despite his successes and his camels, as you mentioned, and all the stuff he had, despite those things, he was lost. His trajectory was being lost. And having that life-changing moment changed him around and put him on a trajectory where he is now found. Mm. Now, there's been a pretty active posting of messages here. You want to unpack some of them? What are people saying about life-changing examples in Scripture?
Yeah, there was a couple of good ones. One in particular I just want to highlight here, and I'll actually show it on the screen for those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook. Gaz mentioning, he says, I reckon the demoniac's lives changed. And, you know, it's funny because there are so many instances of that actually happening in the Gospels that it's hard to narrow it down to one. But, you know, I think of the guy who, what was the name of the town? Can't remember off the top of my head at the moment, but Jesus, they go over the Lake of Galilee to the town on the other side, and there's a demoniac.
Yes, Decapolis was the region which had the 10 scenes, but the Gazarenes.
Yep, that's the one. And there was a guy there who, you know, was filled with so many demons that they couldn't stop him. You know, they would chain him up and he would rip the chains off. And through an encounter with Jesus, obviously this guy's life completely changed as well, to the point where he was a normal person again. And interestingly enough, you know, when Jesus was leaving that place and you know, this guy who was formerly demoniac says, oh, can I come with you? Please, I want to come with you. Jesus actually responds to him and says, no, I want you to stay here as a witness.
Why?
Yeah. I think it's as a witness for what Jesus had done for him. You know, and to all the people in that region, they would see this guy and be like, hey, wasn't this the guy who was crazy and, you know, running around and ripping chains off? And now he's talking about this Jesus guy. What's going on here?
Yeah. And that's a powerful story, because Jesus says, the reason why you're not coming with me is because I want you to go and testify of what things God has done for you. Mm-hmm. And so he had to go and tell people, this is the life-changing power that I've encountered. I was like this, and now I'm like this, and this is the key that changed my life around. And, you know, we're talking about how here in Australia there's been a study put out today about the impact that overdoses happening, like fatal overdoses are happening on people around Australia. It's, you got more chance of dying of a drug overdose in Australia now than having a car accident. That's how high it is. And so we want to talk about, hey, is there hope in this Jesus and his good news? Can it really have a life-changing impact? And, you know, we've looked at a couple of examples. We looked at Zacchaeus. Gaznat mentioned the demoniac. He also mentioned the 5,000 who had the free lunch. He's mentioning Lazarus. Obviously, his life was impacted, the guy who was raised from the dead by Jesus. And so we see a number of examples here of how Jesus has intersected with people's experiences. And as a result of that encounter, their lives have changed. I think of the woman caught in adultery. I think of the fisherman. Pretty much this way. Every person that encountered Jesus, their life was never the same. Now, some people chose lives that were against him, like the Pharisees, but their lives were never the same after they met Jesus. And the question we have today, though, Brad, is, you know, the skeptic in me, which I used to be, even more so than I am now as a non-Christian, and the skeptic in most people is, well, that's all good and well, but it's a bit of a storybook, right? Like, is there any evidence of there being real life-changing power in the good news of Jesus in 2024? Like, what about all these people who are struggling with addiction, with anxiety, with fear and worry? Is there really any power in this gospel stuff? What would you say to them?
Just
to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's the question we should be asking ourselves every day. I can say in my own life, yes, absolutely. There's so many instances and so many stories where, you know, the person I am today is only because of the relationship that I have with Jesus. The peaceful, I'd like to say gentle person in front of you is perhaps not the person that I've always been on the inside. But it's through knowing Jesus and understanding the value that he places on me that, you know, I live a completely different life. So, yeah.
There's a verse that Jesus, well, it's in the Bible that where he speaks, and John records this. It's in John chapter 10. And it's in chapter 10, verse 10, very easy verse to remember. Mm-hmm. And this is what, oh, I'll pick a translation that's not my normal one.
Sure.
Let's go with something a little bit unique. Well, they're all pretty much the same, actually. I've got about 15 translations in front of me. let's just go with, go New Living Translation. Here we go. This one says, the thief's, so this is Jesus speaking. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, so Jesus is saying here, this is what the thief wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But then he says this, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Okay, so this is NLT. I'm going to go to, let's go to the Berean Standard Bible, one that we don't often use. But here's what it says. It says, I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullness.
Mm.
Okay, so he's contrasting what the thief wants to what he's come to do. Now let's go to, I'll go to the first version I ever read, which was King James. It says, the thief comes not to, the thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, same story.
Yep.
He says, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now, think about this for a second. This is Jesus, right? This is, we're talking about the gospel or the good news of Jesus. Jesus shows up and he claims that his coming is to give us a life that is, in some translations, says full, it's fullness. In other translations, it says it's most satisfying. In the original language, which the King Jameses try to use, and a number of other translations, like American Standard and so on, they try to use the word that you may have life and have it more abundant. They use this word abundant in English. Now, what's fascinating is in the Greek language, the word abundant means to have like excel in two areas. It excels in quantity and quality. So when Jesus says, I've come, this is why I've come. I've come to give you life. That's the first thing.
Yep.
The second thing is, what kind of life? A life that is abundant in quantity and quality. So when the whole premise of Jesus in this gospel story is that he has come to change your life. Now, here's the thing, Brad. If I told you, Brad, I've got a gift for you. I've got a more abundant life. What I'm implying is that your life currently isn't abundant, right? Why would I have to give you an abundant life if your life was already abundant?
Yep.
Meaning it was abundant in quantity and quality.
Mm.
So what Jesus is actually implying, this is profound. He is implying that our lives before we meet him are not abundant in quantity and quality. They're inferior to what he has. Otherwise, why would he come, right?
Well, you think
so
about,
when he comes...
Well, I was going to say, you think about the story we were just talking about before with Zacchaeus, right? It would seem as though he had an abundant life because he had heaps
That's
of
right.
money. He had and he had his house. He had everything he could attain or want, so to speak. And yet, you know, it wasn't enough.
And so Jesus comes along and gives him a life that's abundant in quantity and quality. And that quantity and quality for Zacchaeus was to remove himself of half of all that he had and restore fourfold of whatever he had taken. So it's astounding that Jesus makes this claim. So what that means for you and me, before we meet Jesus, and for any other person who's listening to this or watching this, before you meet Jesus, before you have this intersecting, this life-changing moment in eternity, before you have that, you have to understand that your life is not the abundant life that you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, society wants you to think that if you've got the latest iPhone 16 Pro, you can use USB-C chargers and storage on it. I just found all this out this morning.
Okay.
That's why it's fresh. Mm-hmm. Society wants you to think that if you are getting a brand new house built, if you're driving the latest electric-powered, clean, green energy vehicle, that somehow you've got an abundant life. They want you to think that if you're buying the latest Pepsi Max flavor, whatever it is, I don't know what they are, up to these used to be zeros and then it was Taste Maxes and whatever it is, right? But whatever you think you've got, society is telling you if you've got it, you've got an abundant life. If you've done a trip to the Maldives or Maldives, whatever it's called, you've made it. You're living the abundant life. But Jesus wants us to know that before we intersect with him or before he intersects with us, we have to realize, like Zacchaeus, that there's something missing. And you want to know how you know? This is an oxymoron, but do you want to know how you know that you don't know, that you haven't? Okay, this is getting lost now.
It's going around.
Here's the point. You want to know, how do I say this? Here's how you will know that you don't have the abundant life that Jesus is speaking of. Here's how you'll know.
Yep.
You will see in society that there is addictions, there is depression, there is fear, anxieties, all the stuff we talked about at the beginning of the show studies are showing here in Australia. This is all evidence. Now, not everyone's walking around the drug addiction, but we've all got addictions. We're not all walking around depressed, but we're all not perfectly happy. Mm. We're all not miserable, but we all lack peace. And so here's the thing. We don't have the abundant life by experience. I don't have to tell anybody watching this or anybody listening to this that, you know what? You don't have the abundant life that is abundant in superior in quantity and quality. You don't have it because deep down, every one of us knows that. And that's why we're substituting that, that lack with the vapes, with ice, with relationships, with bad relationships, with cutting or whatever it is. Like, it's all these different things that is the problem in our society. We look and we go, oh, we've got a great problem of this and that and the social issues and rah, rah, rah. The real problem is that we lack the person of Jesus in our life. And that's what Jesus claims. Now, you can say, well, that's all easy for you to say. Jesus claims that. Whoop-de-doo. But the only way you'll know whether Jesus' claim is accurate is if you try it. If you experiment with it. So, Brad, I've lost idea of where the clock's at. I don't know if there's a song coming up or not, but at some point we need to take a break. And when we come back, let's start unpacking how we can experiment with this life-changing power that Jesus claims he has to see if it's legit. In fact, before we go, let me share the comment here. I saw a comment before. I think it was Gaz. He said something like... yeah, here it is. He said, you've got to taste and see. This life-changing power is about tasting and seeing. And that's exactly where we need to head. We need to talk about how does the average Aussie who's struggling in these areas, how do they actually taste and see if there is power in this Jesus guy?
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do when we come back.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, it's an interesting thing that this seems to be a very universal thing. Doesn't matter where you go on the planet. You know, it doesn't matter what the specific addictions that people might be dealing with in particular continents or countries are. There's still this same universal problem, this same universal desire for things like peace. You know, why does every single person on the planet desire to truly be at peace? You know, so there is something that covers for every single person. So, yeah.
That's right. Hey, we forgot to say this. We've got a free giveaway on this episode. Man, we're getting slack. We've got a free giveaway on this episode that will help you in this journey of finding life-changing power in the gospel of Jesus. So stick around towards the end of the episode. We will have a free text-in code word. You can text into our number and claim today's great free giveaway. But with that being said, Brad, where are we going next?
We're going to hear a song. I reckon we'll go with Holly Spears and a song that's called Amazing Grace. So let's roll with that. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Remember, you're always welcome to join the conversation at any point. You can text in on 0488 185 00. And of course, if you're listening online through Facebook or YouTube, please send it in the keep sending in comments. We love them. We read every single one. All right, we'll see you back in just a couple of minutes' time after this song.
Amazing grace. But now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first
listening to Conversations on Faith FM.
Hey, hey, welcome back. That song you just heard there was Holly Spears with an acoustic version of the old classic Amazing Grace, which is a great song. And hey, just want to give a quick shout out to a few people who we've got, who have been joining in and commenting and sharing some stuff on the stream. And shout out to Dragon, as well as to Crafty Girl, as well as to Gaz and Santa Muerte. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and hopefully you're enjoying the conversation we're having today, and, you know, hopefully we're giving glory to God in what we're talking about, because we are talking about God's power and his ability to change our lives. So if that's of interest to you, awesome. Please stick around.
Absolutely. And on the texting front, we've got a text here from, I think it's Mark with a C, and Mark's just texted in before the break saying, hey, what are your thoughts on the best translation for a follower? Brad, if I had a dollar for every time I was asked this question, I would be wealthier than I am now.
How and, much off?
So, anyway, let me ask you this question. So this is one of the ongoing conversations that have been happening among people who are becoming more and more switched on with their Bible study and wanting to follow Jesus's teachings as closely as possible. The logical question is, which Bible translation should I be reading? If you go to a Bible store today, any Bible store, pick a Bible store, go online, go to a website, doesn't matter, you will find literally hundreds of English translations of the Bible. But the key word in that sentence is they are English translations. And so every single Bible you have ever read, if you read it in English, it's a translation of the original language. And the original language was obviously, my majority of the Old Testament is Hebrew. There's a little bit of a language called Aramaic, which is similar to Hebrew, but it's still different enough to be called Aramaic. And the New Testament is all written in the Greek language. So regardless of which Bible you have read in English, it is all a translation. And so in English circles, there's often conversations and debates and questions about which translation in English is the best. Like, which one should you be reading? Because there are differences. Like, when you pick up a Bible, like I guess before the break, when I read from John chapter 10, verse 10, I mentioned there's a whole bunch of translations I have up here. I've got an app that shows me any verse in every translation that I've got in my software, and it's a lot. And there are some differences in English because they're translations. And if you're not familiar with translations, if you've ever grown up with another language, which I didn't, I grew up in English, but I married a European girl, and her mother language is Serbo-Croat. And she's also learned Afrikaans, and then she learned English. She's fluent in English, don't get me wrong. But many times we'll be talking, and she'll be talking to her parents who speak Serbian, and but they'll have a laugh in their language. And I'll say, you know, because I don't understand any of it, I'll say, well, what are you talking about? And then she'll say, oh, it's not going to be funny if I tell you in English. I'm like, come on, just tell me. And she'll tell me, and it will be like the most lamest sentence you've ever heard in the English language.
Just doesn't carry
because
across.
Because the carrying from their language into English, the translation process, it isn't an exact fit, and so you lose some of the richness as if you were a native speaker that you get, and you get the nuances of the rhyming and the tones and the syllables and the vowels and all that business, and it's funny, right? And so it's no different in English from the Greek or the Hebrew or any of those other languages. So when they're translating into English from the Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew, okay, put it this way. It's impossible to get the perfect translation. It's impossible.
Yep.
You can get very good and very close, but you can't get perfect. It's not possible because it's a translation, right? So the question then is, well, which one's the best of the translations? Well, it really comes down to what you're trying to get out of it.
Yep.
Because if you're trying to get out of it, and this is answering your question, Mark, hopefully you're still listening, what you're trying to get out of it, if you're trying to get out of it a sort of a reading, like a really flowing read of the Bible, then the English translation you want is one that's closer to like a paraphrase. Now, remember what the goal is. The goal is to get a familiarity with the text, to know the stories, and to read it like it's a storybook. Then you want a translation that's closer to they read the original language, they take the thought, and they translate that thought into English. And that's what we call paraphrases. The downside to a paraphrase is that they're not terribly accurate to the original words. It's more the ideas, right? So like, anyway, you get the idea. Whereas if you want to be more closer to the word for word translation, it's more accurate in terms of the words, but it's a lot harder to read, which means that you need to have a bit more familiarity with theology to know how it all fits together. So for an example, an extreme example of this might be the old King James, right? The original King James version in English. If you read that in Shakespeare in English, a lot of people don't like it because it's so hard to read and they don't like Shakespeare. But that was probably the premier English translation of the Bible. Today, it's still very good in terms of word-for-word translation, but it's very hard to read for a lot of people. It's not an excuse, but it's just how it is. And so if you're wanting to build, if you want to understand what you should believe from the Bible, you want to get closer to a word for word. And there's a lot of them now. There's New King James's, I think NIV's closer to a word for word. The English Standard Version's closer to the word for word. The NASB, the New American Standards. There's a whole bunch down that end. And then there's a whole bunch at the other end, which is the paraphrase. So the question is, which is the best translation? My question to you is, what do you want to read it for? Yeah. Is it for studying out doctrine, knowing the ins and out of systematic theology? Then you want word for word. So go more to the literal translations. If you're just wanting to know the stories of the Bible and get the grounded ideas in your head, then read more of the paraphrase. But here's my takeaway, and it's a cop-out, I know, but here it is. The best translation of the Bible is the one that you read.
It's always a good answer. It's usually not the answer people are wanting. They're like, no, just tell me the exact one, and so I can read that, and then I'm good.
But absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're spot on.
So there's a couple of people posting in here, obviously, who are opening a can of worms here. But there's a couple of questions here, statements here. I've had a few translations. One is the Jerusalem Bible. That was from Gaz. Yeah, Jerusalem Bible's a reasonably good translation in English to read. It has books, not in the others. Yeah, so if you talk about the Apocrypha, that's another conversation for another time.
Yep.
What else we got here? I saw something else coming in for before. King James is beautiful. Yeah, look, the first translation I ever read in English of the Bible was the King James. Most of the memorization I've ever done is in the King James. Now I mostly use New King James just because people find it a bit easier to hear when I read it.
Just quickly on that, one of the reasons that people typically find the King James text to be really beautiful to read for some reason is that basically it's had such a huge effect on the English language for the next several hundred years that it influenced a lot of poetry. And so when we read the old King James Bible, we are recognizing hundreds of years of influence of poetry and writing in it, and we're seeing kind of the source of that. So that's often one of the reasons people go, oh, I just love the King James Bible. You know, that's why.
But could you really imagine going to Handel's Messiah and hearing it sung in like the Message?
Yeah, well,
it wouldn't feel the same.
I mean, the funny thing is, Robbie, that for the people living in the day of King James, it probably would, to a large degree, have been written in fairly common English language. We look at it now and go, oh, it's so fancy. And, you know, for them, fancy would have been Latin.
Yeah. The point of the translations has always been this, and we've kind of gone way off topic, but anyway, it's a conversation. The point of the translations was this. Even in the old King James, like the original King James, if you read the prefix written by the translators themselves, they're like, this isn't the perfect translation, but this is the most perfect we have in the language at the time. And so I think the goal of a translation of the Bible is to always have the most perfect translation you can have at that point in time.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, it's about communicating the message of God to the generation that's reading it. And so, you know, I hope that one day we don't get to just emojis. I really hope we don't get to that with the Bible. But, it is what it is. Mm. So a couple of people have posted some other things in talking about the point of translation was, this is from Chad, the point of translation was to make it about flesh and race. Not sure what that means, but the point of translation was to make it. This is how I was going to read a text before you actually read it. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go back to what we're talking about, the transformation of the Bible people's lives because they're encountering Jesus. So we're looking – I'm just following the text coming in. It's quite amusing getting emojicons coming in and, looking good. There's a question about Romans or something, is it? Could I ask you to explain Romans 2:29 KJV and maybe reference it in KJV – Revelation 2:9. Okay, this is a whole study. Thanks, Chad, for texting this in. We might get into this if we have time, but I seriously doubt it on this episode because we're about 15 minutes out till we finish the show. Maybe look at it on the next episode. Have to dig into that a bit more. But we want to finish this off. We want to leave people who are listening and watching this that if you encounter Jesus today, your life will be changed. It will absolutely be transformed. And so let's talk a little bit about how that actually happens. How can a person experience finding this life-transforming power of Jesus. Well, I want to share a couple of principles, Brad. I don't know if you've got a Bible up there. I might read a couple of verses as we go.
Yep.
One here is on, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. So there's three principles here of how the gospel can impact every Australian. Three principles. One, finding peace amidst the storm. We talked about this last week, but finding peace amidst the storm. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, can you read what Jesus is saying there, Brad?
Yep, 11:28. And just mentioning the chat, like, yeah, we are keen to look at those verses you mentioned. It's just, it is a bigger topic that we would like to actually do it justice rather than spend 30 seconds go, oh, yeah, blah, blah. You know, we actually want to have a proper conversation about it. That's what we call conversations. So we will exactly. Keep it in mind. So Matthew 11:28 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
So this first principle is this. If you want to experience life-changing power of this good news of Jesus today, the first thing, Jesus is saying this is what you've got to do. He's asking you to come to him. Now you say, but what's the guarantee if I come to Jesus, I'm going to have this life-changing moment? What's the guarantee? Well, here's the only guarantee he gives. Come to me. Come to me. If you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're struggling, come to me and I will give you rest. And so what this basically is to me, this is how my whole journey from atheist to Christian sort of is, revolves around this one principle, that the Bible is full of what I call faith experiments. In fact, I got the shirt on even right now, faith experiment. So here's the point. If you aren't willing to experiment with the teaching, then there's no opportunity for you to see any results. If Jesus says, look, if he said, there is great peace and great rest, and that was the end of it. Well, so what? What difference does that make? But what he adds to that point is he says, come to me and I will give you rest. So here's the point. If you come to him, rest should come as a result of it. When you find Jesus intersecting in your life, you should find rest that comes with that moment, that experience. Does that make sense, Brad?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. You know, it's, yeah, obviously it's something that you can put to the test, which is cool. Just saying g'day to Daniel, who's saying hello from Brazil. Hola, Daniel. Thanks for tuning in, mate. Yeah, I really love that there's so many elements of the Bible that you can actually put to the test. You know, Jesus doesn't just say along the lines of, oh, yeah, if you come to me and you're stuffed and you're tired or whatever it be, well, maybe I'll do something for you. You know, maybe it will be better. He's not that sort of person.
No, it's absolute certainty. But the thing is this, you will never know if this thing actually happens, if there's any real change in your life until you act upon it. That's the experiment part of it. You have to put something into practice in order to see if there's the result. And the practice is simply this, come to him, come to Jesus, come to him. That's it. And that brings us to the, so the first point is this, if you want to experience the impact of this good news of Jesus in your life today as an everyday Aussie, the first thing you've got to do is go, all right, I'm going to test him out. I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to come to him. I'm going to cast all my burdens on him, all my weariness on him, and I'm going to see if he gives me the rest. That's the first thing. And we can talk about how you come to him in a little bit later. But number two, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
All right.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And then we're going to unpack this verse as our second point. So the three steps, I guess, or we're not going to call it steps, but the three things of how, or three ways, the way the gospel impacts everyday Australian lives. The first one is you can get peace and rest if you come to him. That's the first. Second, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
Yep. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the
world. I think you got first. Yes, John.
John, first John, you know.
First John chapter 1, verse 9. Same guy, author, same guy, spirit inspiring it, but a little bit different words there.
First
John chapter 1, verse 9. This is our second thing that happens to us when we come to Jesus.
Says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness.
Okay, so the first point with Matthew was we can find real peace if we come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. The second point is we can find forgiveness and a fresh start if we come to Jesus. And he says to confess our faults and our sins to him. And he says he's faithful and just to forgive us. So here's the thing. You know, we talked about how people are struggling with depression, with worry, with fear, with anxiety, with guilt, with shame, with all these different things. And a lot of that manifests itself in addiction. And so what Jesus is inviting you to do is come to him and he'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. Come to him and tell him what you've got going on in your life. And he'll cleanse you and he'll give you a fresh start.
Yep.
Something that doesn't... It's not going to cost you anything by giving it to him. It costs him everything to take it, but it's not going to cost you anything to give it. And it's going to give you the confidence to have a fresh start. You know, the problem with a lot of our young people in the schools, like I've been a chaplain for a number of years in our high schools and primary schools around Australia, is there is a sense of shame because of some sort of wrong action. And as a result of that, like I've met high school kids that are cutting themselves, that they're sedating themselves, they're doing all sorts of things. These are kids that when I was a kid that age, I said before, my biggest fear was I didn't have the latest shoe to show off to my peers. The answer is still the same though. No matter how old you are, whether you're 100, whether you're 10, the answer is come to Jesus. And that leads us to our third and final point we'll talk about today. And that is the purpose beyond the day to day. Coming to Jesus, this life-changing moment, gives you purpose beyond the day-to-day. Sometimes it feels like we're in this never-ending cycle of work, of school, of relationships, of debt, whatever it is. Just round, 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 and go. We work, we pay bills, we sleep, we rest, we repeat. In fact, I saw a T-shirt the other day, a little kid, probably about 10 years old, had a shirt on the front. It had eat, play, as in play games. It was a video game shirt, and it said repeat, or sleep, eat, play, sleep, repeat, something like that. And I thought, isn't that sad? Like, that's what we're telling people is their purpose in life, their destiny in life.
But that's what a lot of people feel like in their workplaces. You know, I'm sitting here doing this job that maybe I don't even like, basically because if I don't do that, then I can't afford to live in a house. And if I don't do it, I can't afford to get food. But there's no hope beyond any of that. I can't save money. I can't do something I want to do. But it's just that feeling of, oh, I'm just stuck doing this and there's no escape. I feel like that's kind of the cause of a lot of the mental issues that you see in Australia and a lot of other countries. It's this feeling that there is no road to something better. There's no actual hope for a better future.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. And so when you're going through life, Jesus is wanting to intersect his life with your life. And at that moment, it looks like these three things. And it's very, very simple. One, he's going to show up. And maybe this is his moment in your life right now. Maybe this is the moment he's showing up. You didn't happen to stumble across Faith FM this afternoon. You didn't happen to stumble across the live stream on social media. And, you know, maybe you're listening to this a month later, 2 months later, even a year later. You didn't happen to stumble across this podcast. You have been led to this moment because God is trying to intersect Jesus's life with your life. And he knows what you're going through right now. He knows the struggles you're facing right now, the challenges you're having right now. And he's trying to invite you to take him into your life, to give you that peace. That's the first thing he wants to do, give you peace. And then as a part of that process, he's going to help you work through what you've done, where you've been, what scars you're carrying, what burdens you have. And he's going to take that away from you and give you a fresh start. And that fresh start is a part of that peace that passes all understanding. When you've got that sense that someone's in your corner, you know, that's what always, people who are overdosing on drugs, you know, some of it's just recreational madness that went wrong, right? But there's a lot of people going to drugs because there's no other way to handle the pain and suffering of life. It's the only escape they see. And Jesus wants you to know that he's in your corner. He's there for you. And when you've got those two things, that third one becomes reality. And that is, you realize your purpose. It's bigger than just this day-to-day. It's bigger than the grind in the office. It's bigger than just, you know, the school routines. It's bigger. it's bigger and you got purpose.
Yep. I'm 100% with you on that, Robbie. And, you know, when you realize that the king of the universe, the person who created everything, cares about you, you know, as an individual, that to me is something pretty life-changing. And maybe you don't know exactly what it looks like right now. We have a free offer for you today that will help you get to know the king of the universe. So if you would like to get to know Jesus better, to understand not only what he's done for you, but why he's done it, we have a really awesome little book that's called Steps to Christ. And this is one of my favorite books in the world. I don't know about you, Robbie, but it's,
yeah,
it's a ripper. 100%. And if you'd like to get a copy of this, you know, we want to send it out to you for free. You know, there's no obligations, no, oh, we're going to sneaky you a bill in the mail or anything like that to get it. All you need to do is you can pull out your phone and text today's code word, which is C1021. So C1021, and text that code word to our show number, which is 0488 185 00, and that's how you can get yourself, yeah, a free copy of this amazing book that'll help you get to know Jesus even better.
Absolutely. And this is a book that has, yeah, you said it was one of your favorite books. For me, it's a book that I try and read once a year. And even if you're a long-term follower of Jesus, this is a great book to remind you. A few short chapters, it just reminds you of, first of all, the great love that God has for you, and then what Christ is going to do in your life, Christ being Jesus, and the power of the gospel. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't got this book, Steps to Christ, take out your phone, as Brad said, text the code word C1021 to our show number 0488 185 00. Our SMS bot will ask you for some details, and we'll get this book out to you as soon as we possibly can.
Yep.
And hey, don't forget, if you're in Adelaide, it's coming up to Saturday, and we would love to see you join us at our Amplify National Faith FM conference in Adelaide. The address for information is the Faith FM website, faithfm.com.au/amplify. You'll find the address. It's free. Just show up 10 o'clock. We finish at about, I think, about 11:30, 12 o'clock. No, sorry, about 12 o'clock. No, 12:30, I think it is. And then there's a picnic, BYO picnic. You get to meet most of the presenters from Faith FM right across Australia, from the Sydney studio, the Townsville studio, Canberra studio, Tasmanian studio, Victorian. Yeah.
Everyone, everywhere, all at once. Hey, to Cody, who's just saying, can we share the details again? So the number, the code word is C1021. And our show number is 0488 185 00. If you're watching on Facebook, where I see you can, and Cody, you can see the details on the screen just there. Well, thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. I've had heaps of fun. And make sure you join us again same time next week for another great conversation. Bye for now.
See you later.